Well, the 2022 Winter Olympics are ready to start in Beijing on Friday, but not without the cloud of human rights abuses by the Chinese government hanging heavy over those games. Isabel Young is a reporter at HBO Real Sports, and she joins us now. Isabel, thanks so much for being with us. And I know in your work, you've been exploring this troubling relationship, really, between the International Olympic Committee and China's campaign of repression. Just tell us briefly what you have found.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, you know, the Olympics are going ahead. The opening ceremony is tomorrow, and that is despite everything. You know, a lot has been thrown at this Olympics. You know, obviously, there's the situation with COVID, but more disturbingly, there are mass human rights abuses. There are huge crimes against humanity taking place at the moment in the area of Xinjiang in northwestern China, which is where 12 million or so Muslim Uyghurs live. This is an ethnic minority which has had an enormous crackdown over the last few years. 1 to 2 million of them have been rounded up and put inside what they call re-education camps, which are essentially high security prisons. You know, this is the strictest surveillance state in the world right now. Women have been forced to go through sterilization. Children have been separated from their family members. This is an enormous scale of a crackdown. You know, the US and other nations have called this cultural genocide.
You know, China denies all of these allegations, right? So how does it justify all of these camps? And then the IOC promotes tolerance. So how does it justify not doing anything in response to what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the question. You know, the IOC says that they are a force for good, but at the same time, they say that it's important for them to maintain political neutrality and that they don't want to get involved in politics and that they are not a governing body. They are a sports organization. But, you know, a lot of activists would say that that's just not good enough. And when you're talking about mass crimes against humanity, it is time to speak up. And there's a huge amount of disappointment from the Uyghur community, as well as from other communities in Hong Kong and Tibet and others who have faced the authoritarian regime of the PRC.
Isabel, what kind of signal do you think this sends the world? The fact that, you know, we're allowing the U.S., along with many other countries, allowing these Winter Olympic Games to be hosted by Beijing. Does it tell the world that somehow we're supporting this, that Xi Jinping's government is normal?
Well, I think it depends who you ask. I mean, you know, the U.S., Australia, the U.K. and Canada, other countries have are going through a diplomatic boycott of the Games. And so they're not sending any government officials to actually be there and to be representing the countries. However, obviously, yes, these Games are going ahead. I mean, I think that this speaks to the fact that China does have incredible economic and political power right now. It is one of the two major superpowers in the world, and it is capable of kind of throwing its weight around. You know, I was living in China back in 2008 when the last Summer Olympics were held there, and there was a huge amount of excitement, and there was also China making promises to improve its human rights track record. No such promises are being made right now, and so I think that speaks to, yeah, the level of influence and power that China has globally right now.
And how much of a leg up do you think, and you know, something like this gives China, because it gives them the spotlight? Xi and Putin are meeting tomorrow to strengthen their alliance. And, you know, China has increased its aggression towards Taiwan. Is this another foot forward in them gaining more control over that issue?
I mean, I think that, you know, on an international scale, there's a lot of criticism right now over China. I don't think there's been an Olympic Games quite like this. I mean, there is huge amounts of critiques over their handling of the Uyghurs, over their handling of the tennis star Peng Shuai more recently, as well as what's happened in Hong Kong and Tibet. Having said that, I mean, I think that domestically, it's a massive propaganda win for China. You know, I'm sure that the Games are obviously going ahead and that they will be spectacular. You know, and I think it really solidifies China's position on the global stage and makes sure that they are in the spotlight, as you said.
You know, Isabel, here at Yahoo Finance, sort of from our lens, we take a look at the corporate sponsors of this game. I don't know how much you can speak to this, but you've got big names, right? Toyota, Visa, Airbnb, Coca-Cola, Intel, the list goes on among the sponsors of these games. How important is it for them to speak out against these human rights issues? And perhaps they do that with their wallet and not sponsor these games at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, we haven't seen much of that, given that China is obviously a massive, massive market and has huge potential for a lot of these international brands. So yeah, a lot of these brands have gone there and are not speaking up. In fact, they're staying very silent. And I think that again speaks to China's political and economic influence. You know, that more disturbingly, I would say that there are also domestic sponsors who are directly linked to what the repression that is happening in Xinjiang. So we've seen brands like Anta Sports, which proudly sources their cotton from Xinjiang. You know, a lot of Xinjiang cotton is banned elsewhere in the world because of the record of forced Uyghur labor that is used to produce this cotton. iFlyTech is another domestic sponsor of the games, which will be making automated translation services for the games. You know, this is a company that has reportedly been involved in the repression of Uyghurs directly by providing the technology to take iris scans of Uyghurs so that the Chinese Communist Party can better track them. So I think that the economics behind the games is something which keeps the games going, which keeps, you know, China very much at the forefront of, you know, hosting the games and future events, and also is very effective at keeping brands, keeping individuals and keeping nations, quite frankly, silent on the abuses.
And Isabel, you know, beneath the glitz and glam of the games is an issue that's close to my heart, because China has systematically been desecrating democracy in Hong Kong, which is my hometown. It's where I'm from. And I feel like the athletes are being held hostage in a way to help cover it up. Should they be in that position, and should they be speaking up more themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I also have roots in Hong Kong, so I feel your pain. I think that it's a very difficult situation for athletes to be in. You know, on the one hand, it is a glorious event, and, you know, there's a lot to celebrate about, you know, seeing such skills and such unity on display. On the other hand, China has made not such subtle suggestions that athletes are not welcome to speak up about human rights abuses, and that it is going to be very difficult for them. And I think as public figures, it is very difficult. You know, you face losing sponsors, you face losing a foothold in one of the biggest markets in the world. So I think, yeah, it's a difficult spot, and it's frankly, a lot of people would say, an unfair spot for athletes to be put in.
Yes, indeed. And the world will be watching. Isabel Young, and it's an important conversation to have. Thank you for bringing your perspective. Again, it's on HBO Real Sports. A lot of great reporting coming out of that show. Thanks so much.